right, with roughly 40 seconds to the closing bell, we invite into the stream Greg Fisher from Quent Capital and Tracy McMillian, Wells Fargo Investment Institute, head of global asset allocation. We'll be talking with both of you in just a second about what to make of some of the action we've been witnessing. But as we just heard from Jared Blickery, only sector in the green right now, healthcare. And when you take a look at the Dow leaders, Merck, United Health Group, Johnson & Johnson, all in the green. We're going to check these markets right after we get the closing bell, which is right now.
All right, and that'll do it for the trading day this Tuesday, August 17th. We are seeing stocks closing in the red, the S&P 500 and the Dow both pulling back from record highs that we set just yesterday. Now, as Adam was breaking down, taking a look at the sector action, we do have the consumer discretionary, materials, and industrial sectors moving to the downside. And in the Dow, we are seeing Home Depot, the biggest laggard here. That company, of course, just reporting disappointing second quarter sales results, and Boeing and Caterpillar also moving to the downside. Now, I want to turn it back to our panel. And Tracy, I'll send this question over to you first. As we look at the market action today, of course, the S&P 500 and Dow just slightly below those record highs. What do you really make of the action that we saw today, especially as we had that disappointing data from retail sales out earlier?
You're right. We were off somewhat today, and that, of course, on the heels of yesterday's record closes. So we wouldn't read too much into one day's movement in the markets. Instead, you know, we would look at the causes for this. And of course, consumer sentiment out last week was negative. And then today's retail sales off, and, you know, the COVID resurgence, all of these things are playing on the investor psyche. And investors are probably just taking some gains here, given that there are some uncertainties out there that appear to be building.
Greg, talking about uncertainty, I want to jump over, overseas and take a look at some investors, look at global investing, deciding whether they want to be in China or not. And with the news out of the regulators there cracking down on antitrust situations, what argument would you make for an investor to go to China and invest? Or maybe is it time to say, not right now?
Well, I think any investor should think about their portfolio, and to have zero of your assets in foreign markets, period, certainly China being such a big part of the world at this point, there are risks associated with investing in these countries. But I think the argument I would make is just relative value. Just even if we just look year to date, I think there's something like a 30-35% difference between U.S. companies and China companies, depending on which index you look at. So I do think there's an opportunity here. If you're not already there, this might be an opportunity to go in there. And if you're there, I think it makes sense to look at your positions and maintain your exposure. I think it's relative valuation that I would focus on as the argument mostly.
Tracy, what are the main concerns that your clients are asking about right now, and what are you telling them?
Sure. So a lot of them are concerned about the rising COVID cases and what that means for the markets. And what we're telling them with regard to the pandemic is or the resurgence here is that to look at countries where this has happened. So look at the UK, look at India, where there was a surge, but then almost as quickly there was a big decline in the cases. And so, you know, this may be something that we're able to get beyond relatively quickly, so we don't see that impacting markets for an extended period of time. What we do see here, and another question we're getting is, where are we in this cycle? You know, are we still in the recovery mode? Are we moving into expansion? And that's where we think we are, early expansion. And during early expansion, you tend to see cyclicals continuing to outperform. And so that's where we are continuing to guide our clients is towards those cyclical areas where higher than average growth benefits them, whether it's sectors or whether it's asset classes.
Greg, when we talk about valuing assets, there are, you know, issues about valuing some assets, which is not very easy. I'm thinking the BHP Billiton deal, you know, the all-stock deal, the oil and petroleum assets. There are much smarter people who get to do that accounting. But for the retail investor, you have any advice on how to value the intangibles?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's been a lot of visibility on this lately, but the first thing I would say is the price you pay for things definitely still matters. What I think is different today than 20, 30 years ago, or even 10 years ago, is what we think of as assets and how the accounting rules today still are really not modernized to consider what the real assets are. If you're thinking about these small growing businesses that we're hearing so much about, or even larger ones, in many cases, the most valuable asset that we have are the people that come to work every day, or the brand of our business, or our relationships with our customers. And all of these things are like in the ether. They don't show up on the balance sheet of these businesses, and they're written off as expenses against earnings. So if you're just looking at these sort of measures that we've been using since the 50s, like price to earnings, price to book, price to most things on the financial statements, they don't really tell you a lot about what the true value of these companies are. Now, I'm not suggesting that looking at price to some fundamental measure is not relevant any longer, but you have to consider many other things.
Tracy, we've been hearing a lot of strategists talk about potentially taking a barbell approach when it comes to leadership, those growth stocks versus those cyclicals. And I'm wondering, based on where we are now in the cycle, is that the sort of dichotomy that traders should be thinking about? Or is it time to start leaning one way over the other?
Sure. So we have been leaning towards cyclicals, and we continue to do so. And the reason for that is because early cycle, they do tend to be outperformers, even though there can be some volatility, as we've seen during this recovery. And later in the cycle, mid-cycle, is when you do start to see growth companies reemerge, if you will. So tech companies start to outperform. And then later in the cycle, you see those growth companies outperforming. So at this point, we do still see stronger than average growth here in the United States, stronger than average growth globally. And so we'd be focused in on those sectors like industrials and materials and financials, energy. We also like communication services here, and we'd stay away from the defensives, things like utilities and consumer staples. And, so lean into some of those areas that have seen a sell-off today.
Greg, if you lean in, though, some of those stocks might be growth stocks that are also money losers. What advice do you have for the investors on that one?
Well, let's just remember how far we've come over this, ridiculous year, 2 years or so. So, any pullback now is like a little breather is to be expected. But look, when you're investing in growth stocks, there's a lot of volatility, a lot of ambiguity about valuation, and the difference between winners and losers can be significant. There are so many companies today that are trading so frequently. I've identified companies where we see them trading completely over 30 days, all their shareholders change. I mean, their volumes and their trading mentality of markets, as opposed to in the old days, we'd buy good quality businesses that were profitable, that were doing good things, and hold them for the long term. That still actually makes sense. But when you're buying growth companies, you have to be careful who your partners are, who these other shareholders are, and have the patience to stick it out. Whether it's e-commerce in China or healthcare in the US, that concept really works in every sector in every part of the world.
Greg Fisher from Quent Capital and Tracy McMillian, Wells Fargo Investment Institute's head of global asset allocation. Thank you both for being with us.